I want to talk to you from the topic, be active with your faith. Be active with your faith. Come on, slap your neighbor, tell them you need to be active. Tell somebody else in your faith. God wants us to be active in our faith. Yes, we can have the terminology of faith. We can have an understanding what the Bible says about faith. We can have head knowledge about faith. But I want to tell you today that God wants you to be active in your faith. To be active in your faith, you need to first be activated when it comes to your faith. To be active, you need to be activated. To become active in your faith. The word activate means the following. To make active, cause to function or to act. Meaning that God wants us to be active in our faith. He wants us to have a cause that can help us to function and act upon our faith. It also means to render more reactive, excite. God wants you to be excited about your faith. God doesn't want you to, you know, go through life, look like you're sucking lemons all week, moan and groan and be depressed. God wants you to be excited about your faith. He also wants to hasten by various means as heating. To activate means to hasten, to bring the heat. So when you are in a place where God wants to activate your faith, He's going to bring you to a place where there's heat, where the Spirit of God is warm in the place, where you have pastors and leaders that are full out bringing the heat upon your life, constantly keeping you on your toes, constantly stretching you, constantly pushing you to do more. To activate means to place a military unit or a station on an active status in an assigned capacity. So meaning you are always ready to do. When we talk about activate your faith, it is like you being in your military uniform, placed in a certain position, ready to move at a command to move. God wants to activate your faith. He wants you to know that He wants you to be active when it comes to your faith. Why do we need our faith to be active? In Hebrews chapter 10, 38, the Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This scripture is so familiar in the church. Because we preach upon it, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The church shall live by faith. But it says much more. It says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Why is it important to activate your faith? Number one, if you are the just, you shall live by faith. By what are we living today? Many of us are living far from activated faith. We just live by the normal things the world lives by. God says the just shall live by faith. Your life needs to be characterized by faith. People should see you're a man and a woman of faith. Every new man shall live by faith. Faith will also help you not to draw back. How do we find people to backslide? They stop to live in faith. Their faith stopped to be activated. They're not active in their faith. They're active in coming to church. They're active in serving in church. They're active in whatever way they want to be active, except being active in their faith. They draw back. God says people that draw back into the world, He has no pleasure with them. So your faith is much more than just something you say you have. Faith is what you believe put into action. And God wants to activate your faith before your faith can be active. He wants you to bring you to a place where there's heat. A place where you can be trained like in a military aspect where you are always ready to move. 3 o'clock in the morning, your pastor phones you. You are ready. You are excited. You don't need anybody to make you excited when it comes to your faith. You are excited about your future. You are excited about your church. You are excited about what God's going to do in your life. You don't need anybody to get you excited when it comes to your faith. In Luke chapter 7:50, the Bible said, then He said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Why is it so important for your faith to be active? Friends, I want to tell you there's situations where only your faith will be able to save you. Some of you need saving grace when it comes to your finances. You need faith in the kingdom of God. Some of you need it in a relationship. You need faith. Some of you need it in finding a job. You need faith. You are part of the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. And in the kingdom, the currency is faith. You want it? It comes by faith. You want to be saved? It comes by faith. I tell you, so many people in the church today are not activated when it comes. They're not active in faith. They're active in everything else except faith. They know the terminologies of faith. They know where it stands, every scripture about faith. But when you look at their lives, you don't find active faith. Faith will save you in situations which is out of your control. God has given us faith to save us through everything that He's taking us through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Why do you need your faith to be active? Because we walk by faith. This is a faith journey. Walking to church is not faith. We walk this whole thing. That this new kingdom is everything about faith. God wants your faith to be active. And therefore, He needs to activate your faith. And therefore, He wants you to know that you should be excited about your faith. Your faith should be ready to move every time God challenges you to move. God will test your faith. You will come to church many times. God will preach a message and He will test your faith. He will stretch your faith. He will challenge you to walk in bigger faith and more huger faith. Don't think that you want to come to church and settle. There's nothing settling in the real church of Jesus. God will constantly push your limits. He will constantly stretch your mind. He will constantly. How does He do it? All by faith. You just got comfortable giving your tithes. He will stretch you to give more. You just get comfortable by giving 10,000 pounds as a once-off offering. He will tell you next time 20. In Romans chapter 14, 23, it says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." When last did you eat a meal from faith? Forget about what he say. I know the background of this whole thing. It talks about what you can eat and what you can't eat. I want to show you something else. God takes faith even to the thing that we see as a natural thing that we just do. Eating is just something that we do. God says, if we as the church don't eat from faith, it's sin. So you and I, we think faith is needed to get us that new car. Faith is needed to get us a wife. Faith is needed to get you a job. Faith is needed to build your home. God is saying, listen, let me break this thing down for you. You need to become so serious about faith that if you don't eat from faith, it's sin to you. God wants His people to be so focused on faith. Let me just be honest with many of you. Many of you are living a churchified life. The last thing that you use is faith. You use everything else except faith. And every time God comes to enlarge your faith, to increase, you cannot walk with Jesus or with real men of God. You cannot walk with them except leaving their presence or being in their presence and they makes you feel you have no faith. If you walk with the real deals, when you really get in their presence, they leave you with an overwhelming knowledge that your faith needs to increase. The disciples walking with Jesus, he's talking with them, he's sharing, they see what he does. They all realize they need more faith. They even came to him and said, Lord, increase, enlarge our faith. You cannot walk with Jesus or be in his presence or with real men of God without leaving their presence or feeling in their presence or company that you lack faith. Many of us in the church today are churchified. You come and play your instrument, it's not by faith. You give your tithes and offerings, and you think you give it by faith, but you give it because you can. I want to show you that God took a natural thing for our survival, and he connects it with faith. And he says, if you don't eat from faith, it's sin. God wants his church to be so focused on faith, because Jesus knew that the thing that you will walk by, the thing that you will live by, the thing that will save you, the thing that will sustain you is faith. Then you come to a church where they constantly want to stretch your faith. They have faith projects. They challenge you in your faith. They want to, and all the church does is they want to run away from that heat, because that heat gets them to be uncomfortable. And they didn't sign up for a comfortable, for an uncomfortable message. No, they want to have a comfortable message, a comfortable life. And when God wants to activate people, he will bring you to heat. A constant readiness for action. In 2 Corinthians 1:24, it says, now that we, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for you, your joy. For by faith you stand. Why is it so important to activate your faith? Because no one can except you. No one can. He says, we don't want to dominate your faith. We cannot get to your faith. But you have to realize, by faith you stand. No one can dominate your faith in Jesus. No one can make it grow. No one can steal it away except the devil. But God wants you to know that you need to work on your faith. You need to come to church Sunday after Sunday, leave here, except feeling good, feel like, hey, I need more faith. Increase my faith, Lord. Instead, we come to church because we want to feel better. And I want to feel loved. And I want to. The thing that you actually need to leave every time is, Lord, give me more faith. I want more faith, Lord. Because it's by faith that you will stand. By faith that you will stand. How's your foundation of faith? How's your foundation of faith? How's your rock of faith? Or is it sand faith? I'm asking. No person can have dominion over your faith. It is by your faith that you will stand. In Hebrews 11:22, it says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Why is it important to live in activated faith or active faith? Because when you have active faith, it will help you to prophesy into your future. It will help you to form your future with the words that's in you or through the words of God. You will prophesy to dead things, they will come alive. You will speak the word of God over your life, and it will form your future. Over here it says that Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of Israel and gave instructions concerning his house, his bones. The man was dying, and he prophesied, "You're going to leave this place one day, my children, but when you go, take my bones with you." It's through faith that we prophesy to our future. Through faith that we shape our tomorrow. Many of us are living the lives that we are living because we ain't living it from faith. We're living it from a churchified relationship with God. It's Sundays and that's it. I come to church, I do my thing, I leave here, there's no faith involved. No faith. The moment pastor puts pressure on you to get a new job, to change your hairstyle, to change your clothing, to change your work, how you work, to change your friends, to change and brings heat, discipleship heat, we run. Oh, no, pastor, that's not what I signed up. I didn't sign up for that. I want you to come and bless me every day. Tell me how wonderful I am, how great God is going to be in my life, how everything is going to change. But in the meantime, 5 years from now, nothing has really changed. And then we wonder, why has things not changed? Because no pastor can activate your faith. No one can have dominion. Even though I want some of you and shake you into a better faith position, I can't. Unless you realize that you need to live by faith, you walk by faith, you stand by faith, nothing is going to change in your life. Unless you realize that your faith needs to be activated and that you need to live in active faith so much that when you take your next bite tonight, you should ask yourself, am I doing this in faith? If faith is so important for us to stand by, to live by, to walk by, to prophesy through, why are we so focused on other stuff except increasing our faith? You need to understand, when you are in the real church, I said it to you, when you are having a relationship with Jesus, when you have real men of God around you, it is quite normal. It is absolutely normal to be in their company and leave their company feeling that you have no faith. Let me just help you. Some of you are going to leave here today and you're going to feel like a loser. That you haven't done nothing for God yet. You are just wasting your time. You don't know how you're going to make it. It's quite normal to be in the presence of Jesus and feel like I have no faith. I spend time with my pastor. There is not a time or a minute that I'm not in his presence. I leave there full of joy and excitement. But I leave there with a deep knowing. Something's wrong with your faith, bro. And if you can't discern the difference, you would think that it's wrong to be in their company. When you come to church, you have to know that Jesus is here. Instead of leaving here feeling good, you should leave here with a concerning desire to increase your faith. But you see, we come to church because we want to feel better. And we want to feel, and we want to feel. Rather leave here thinking, how am I going to increase my faith? Lord, I need more faith. Everything gets accomplished by our faith. Your home cell ain't going to grow, stand, or go any further if you don't activate your faith. You, home cell leader, activate your faith. To activate your faith, you need to get yourself in positions where the heat is on. You need to surround yourself with men and women that carries faith. That every time they're in your presence, they make you feel like you ain't having nothing when it comes to faith. You need to get yourself in a mindset that you are ready like a general or an army in the right position to respond every time a pastor calls you, God speaks to you. You need to be so ready. Sharp. And the devil understands this. That's why the devil will get us to be busy in church things and busy serving and busy doing this and busy doing that and not busy building our faith. Are you with me? Matthew 9:27. Is it helping somebody? When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him and said to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Here's two blind men running after Jesus, obviously asking him to heal them. Jesus waited for them to come into the house. They came into the house. He didn't say, have sight. He said to them, according to your faith, let it be to you. You have to understand faith is so important that it's according to your faith that your life will turn around. You are having the life that you are having because you are having the faith that you are having. You have heard me many times saying to you that if you are in this church, you are born again, you have the Spirit of God, you've been here for longer than a year, and you still don't have a car, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. That's tight, but it's right. It's a disgrace. How can you have Jesus in your life for a whole year and you can't have a car? Because you don't grow in your faith. Every time somebody challenges you when it comes to faith, you get angry because they attack you. They don't attack. We don't attack you. Ride the tube if you want to ride the tube for all your life. But rather have a car and ride the tube whenever. I do have a cars, and I do ride the tube when I need to ride the tube. We're here to help you stretch your faith, increase your faith. Go further in your walk with God, because when it comes to faith, no one can help you. You need to help yourself. But if you ain't seeing the importance of faith when it comes to the things you want in life, the success you want to be in life, if you don't see it and take it to heart that this is important for me, how is it going to change? You need to activate your faith. You need to be active in your faith. You need to be ready to move. When God says do this, move. When God says go there, move. When God calls you here, you come. Are you with me? What you need in the kingdom can only come to you through your faith. What you have is the result of your faith. Look what Jesus said to this two blind men. According to your faith, let it be to you. I want to share with you a few things how to activate your faith. Oh, come on. Number one, when a pastor preach, say amen. Amen. The biggest problem is you sit here, you hear the word, but it's bounced off from you. It doesn't connect your spirit. Listen to me. You sit here, you listen. You don't listen. You listen, but you don't listen. You sit here, you listen, but you don't listen. Because when you listen here, it's like TV. When a man sits before the TV, he listens, but he doesn't listen. Wife speaks, but it's just here. That's how many of you come to church. I'm helping some people here today. You listen, but you don't listen. It goes in here, it goes out there. Doesn't activate your faith. You sit here four services a Sunday. You listen, but you don't listen. Those who do listen, when the word hits their spirit, they say yes. Amen. They're ready. They're active. You can be in this thing. Listen, I've been here for a long time. For a short time. For a time. You sit here, you listen. But you don't listen with your heart. It's a heart thing. Pastor speaks, gives you sermon after sermon to change your life. You listen, but the word doesn't come to your heart. You don't receive it into your heart. It doesn't take root in your life. Therefore, your life doesn't change. Nothing changes. You come in, it's a motion that you do. You're just in the motion, in the sea. Some of you young people, I see you. You're even in the band, you're even in the ushers, you're in the motion of the sea, in the church, yeah, what the church is doing. You are in it, you are getting tossed through and fro by the motion of the sea. You're enjoying it because there's no rhythm, there's rhythm in this thing. It's rhythm, listen to me, it's rhythm. There's a rhythm, there's a motion. You are in the motion and you know, you're like a jellyfish just going this way, and then you go to prayer meeting, and then you are there, and then you're at a church service, and then you're here again. But there's no direction. There's no. 3 years from now, I look at some of your life and it's not really changed. You haven't moved forward further. Why? Because you don't take faith serious. Every time there's an opportunity to stretch your faith and to activate your faith, you run. No, thank you. I don't want that. Number one. The previous one was not number one. It was just to get you to understand why you should say amen. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, this also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Meaning, let's say this is faith. Can I have Pastor Eugenia? I just stand on this. The scripture says, faith by itself is dead. The Bible says that when you receive Christ, God gives you a measure of faith. That's what the Bible says. So every time a person gets born again, God imparts to that person faith. Faith is dead. He imparts a dead thing into them. You think that when you receive Christ, the faith, it's dead. He has good works. The Bible says, faith by itself is dead. This seed of faith is now living in you. Now, just imagine this seed, the stool, is in me. Can you see the picture? It's dead. On its own, it's dead. Now, here comes good works. Put good works in the seed of faith. Now, the Bible says, it's alive. Now it's alive. So coming to church ain't going to make your faith alive.
Right.
You want to activate your faith, you need to put good works.
Amen.
Good works to your faith.
Amen.
His good works. When good works connect with the faith that's in you, it makes faith alive.
Amen.
James is saying over here, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. Now let's look at your life. What good is coming out of your life since you've met Jesus? What works of righteousness is happening in your life? Every time the pastors tell you, go, let's go reach out. Let's go preach the gospel. Let's go preach the sick. Let's give our tithes and our offerings. Let's do the things. Let's go to prayer meeting. There's certain things that make faith alive. Good works.
Amen.
Faith on its own is dead, but when you find good works, faith is alive. Are you with me? So God will always challenge you and me to add good works of righteousness to our faith.
Amen.
What is works of righteousness? Works of righteousness is preaching the gospel. Works of righteousness is giving your tithes and your offerings, praying, fasting, serving, loving, caring for people, being a blessing. Those are all works of being right with God. We don't do those things to be right with God. We do it because we are right with God. God says, I want you to know that faith by itself, if it doesn't have good works, is dead. Thank you. First thing how to activate your faith is to look at your life and ask yourself, can anybody identify good works in my life? If there's good works in your life, get three or four friends around you, ask them, can you guys see works of righteousness in my life? And they say, yes, man, we see you serving, we see you reaching out, you're becoming a home cell leader, you are serving people, you're giving your tithes and offering things faithfully. As they give you that, you can say, okay, cool, I am in the right way of activating my faith, of building my faith. In Numbers chapter 13, 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. We find here the story of the Israelites going and conquering Canaan, the promise of God. They got to Jericho, to the promised land. They sent out 12 spies. 10 of them came back saying, we cannot do it. It's like church this today. 2 out of 10 will say, yes, pastor, let's build, pastor. Let's reach a million, raise £1 million for the building plates, pastor. Let's go, pastor. Other 10 says, ain't going to happen. Sent the spies out, 10 came back, say, no, it's impossible. Even with God, it is impossible. There's giants in that land. They fortified cities in that land. But Joshua and Caleb, especially Caleb, the Bible says over here, said, no, let us go up at once and take possession. Friends, I want to say to you, to activate your faith, it takes immediate action to God's promises and God's commandments in His Word. You want to activate your faith? It's immediate action to God's promises and God's Word. You will find in a church scenario that we do tithes and offerings every week. But every so now and then, your pastor will stand before you and say, we're going to take a love offering for this. Have you been around? Or we're going to raise £1 million for the building pledge. Or we're going to give so much money or do a pledge towards or raise finances towards this and this. Never miss that opportunity again.
Amen.
That is immediate response to a commandment from the Lord. Immediate. Or a pastor tells you, I want you to do this today. Or you sit in a church service and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, after the service, I want you to do this. Then we wait till 3 weeks later for God to say it again before we do it. Mm-mm. You want to activate your faith? Have immediate response to the promises and the commandments of God. How can you respond to those commandments? Because you know the promises of God. That God is with you. That all things are possible. So yes, I can do that. Learn to be immediate when it comes to commandments from the Lord. In Revelation 12 verse 11 it says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. How to activate your faith? Do what? Share the gospel of Jesus to people. You want to live in activated faith? You want to get activated faith means you need to get yourself in places where the heat is up. Share the gospel. I have found many times in my journey with Jesus that there ain't a place that activates my faith in such a way than me sharing the gospel with people I don't know. The heat is up when you are in the shopping mall doing your thing and the Holy Spirit says, turn around and witness to that person. Have that happened to any of you? Woo! Don't miss that opportunity. Because in that opportunity of sharing the gospel, God activates your faith. He activates it. You're a soldier in His army. That's what the Bible tells us. We are fighting a battle. We're in the Jesus army. So when you have activated faith, you are ready at every command. There's nothing that activates your faith than sharing the gospel. Telling people about Jesus. Telling them about the blood of the Lamb. Give them your testimony. It's nothing like it. I promise you, you do that, you leave that situation, you feel even bigger in your faith. Amen. You think, oh, okay, cool, I can do that. Right. Next time you do it again, you think, oh, I can do it to 5 people. Yeah. Then you do it in front of 5, you leave there knowing, oh, but I can do it before 10 people. Yeah. I can still remember when I started to learn to preach. Man, it was all over the place. Because inside I was all over the place. I wanted to preach, but the fear of man and the fear of the faces. You should see your faces from my perspective. It's frightening. It's like seeing a horror movie sometimes. And I think, Lord, we're giving them good news. We're giving them stuff to change their lives. But they look like this. They give me that tone of voice through their eyes. Because remember how the Lord challenged me to share my testimony before He gave me a mic. God will always and constantly try to activate your faith. Bring you in positions where you need to rely upon Him and nobody else. Get you in a place where you need to look to Him and nobody else. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out such blessing so great you won't even have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. The last or second last one I want to give you is you need to become an extravagant giver. An extravagant giver. Not a tipping the Lord giver, an extravagant giver. You never miss your tithes and your offerings. It's the greatest honor for you to bring your tithes and offerings to church. You never miss a building pledge. You never miss a love offering. You never miss those things because every time you are stretching your faith. It's amazing that God tests our faith. But when it comes to finances, it's the only place where God says, you can test me. I dare you find in the Bible another place where God says, you test me in it. He says, try it, and then you test me. But right through the Bible, I find in the lives of God's people that God always tested their faith. You read about Abram and Moses and Joshua and David and all these men. And when you read it, you will see that God tested their faith. God tested. Even the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11 and onwards, you find it talks about this one. And God tested their faith. God will test your faith. And in giving, God says, now you try it and you test me. Wow. Friends, give to God what is His. His tithes and His offerings. Then put Him to the test. There's nothing that activates your faith in God like giving and giving big. Nothing that activates your faith in the Lord than giving what is His and giving big. Constantly as you walk your journey with Jesus, encourage yourself to give bigger. You might have given a 10-pound tithe now, but there is going to come a time where you're going to give a 1,000-pound tithe. And when you get to a 1,000-pound tithe, encourage yourself to give a 10,000-pound tithe. And when you get a 10,000-pound tithe, encourage yourself to give a 100,000-pound tithe. Keep on stretching yourself when you get to giving. Listen to me. There's nothing that stretches your faith and increases your faith than extravagant giving to your God. You want to become a faith giant? There's no better place in finances. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I want to tell you that another place to activate your faith is to listen to God's command. What did God say? Heal the sick. Do you want to activate your faith? Go find sick people and pray for them. Heal them. What is He saying there? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Drive out demons. When last did you drive out a demon? When last? Have you ever? So we don't go look for demons. When your faith is really activated, God brings them to you. You don't have to seek them. He brings them to the church, to your home cell, and you just deliver the people because you have faith that is activated. I want to challenge you to go out. You want to activate your faith? Go out and find sick people. Lay your hands upon them. Tell them in the name of Jesus, be healed. By the stripes of Christ, you are healed. God told me to come and pray for you. Didn't He tell you there, heal the sick? Go find somebody that's sick and tell them, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Lay your hands upon them. Heal the sick. They might become sicker or they might even die. But that shouldn't stop you to go and pray for them and heal them. I tell you, there's going to come a time where your faith is so strong that every time you lay your hands upon a person, they will get healed. They will get healed. They will get healed. You study the lives of men that are operating in the healing anointing. I know that's a special grace for a lot of people, but they will tell you that they have prayed for thousands and thousands and nothing happened, and then suddenly something started to change. Suddenly, the deaf ears open, eyes started to see, people that are sick will recover. God wants to activate your faith, church. How active is your faith? Coming to church is not a sign of activated faith. Stop running from places where the heat is on. When you have a pastor that is constantly stretching you, or a leader that's constantly stretching you in your giving, in your soul winning, in your disciple making, in your church attendance, in your serving, it's all things that is good. It's not meant for evil. It is to enlarge your territory inside, to increase your faith, so that you can do more and be more to a world that needs more of us to be more. I want to encourage many of you here today to look at your life and see if you have activated faith. Don't feel condemned about this message. I'm not here to condemn you in this message. I'm here to challenge you to really look at your life and find if the faith you received from the Lord is healthy and active. Because as you grow in this journey, the thing that will keep you in this journey is faith. You will stand by it. You will live by it. You will walk in it. Faith. Don't get lost in the motions of church. Don't be somebody that is just, you know, you find them in church. They're just here. They're just taking up space. They're here. While I'm preaching, so I love so many of you, I can point to you, those who's just here. They've just been here. And it's fine for you to just be here if you just want to be like that. But it's not fine to the Lord. He doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to grow year upon year upon year. You might come in with nothing, but a year after now, you have to have something bigger when it comes to faith. You can't be in the church and not growing from a nobody into somebody. That means you grow into leadership. It's faith. We have to challenge you to grow in leadership because we challenge you in faith. You need to grow in faith. The body of Christ needs you to become a leader, a person of influence. You might be here today and you say, Tabu, if I'm honest, I have no faith. Well, I've got good news. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's going to give you faith to change your world. He's going to give you His Spirit, His ways, His Word. And you're going to be able to change your world because you have faith. And maybe here today you are in the church and you don't know what's happening in your life at this moment. You doubt your faith. Listen to me. God's still with you. But faith is something that we constantly need to work at. Constantly. You come into the church by faith. You live in the church through faith. And you are constantly going to move further by faith. Make it real in your life. Study faith. Don't let it just be head knowledge. Let it be activated in your life through discipleship, through preaching the gospel, through giving, and through good works. Look at your life. Let that seed be connected to good works. And let faith come alive in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for every person that is here. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in Jesus' name. You might be here today. You might be coming for a while. But as I preach, you realize that your life is not right with God. If you are honest with yourself, you have no assurance of eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you've never heard that God loves you. Maybe you've always thought about God as an angry person that wants to judge you. I'm here today to tell you that God loves you. That 2,000 years ago, He came to die for you on a cross so that today you can choose eternal life. And if it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Tabu, that's me. I need to make right with God. If I'm honest, my life has no purpose and direction, and I do not have a relationship with Jesus. I want to say to you, my friend, that God tells us He gave us two options, life or death. And He says, choose life. And today you are here. And right now, I'm going to give you a moment to make a choice to change your life. And I want to tell you, that a few years ago, I chose Jesus. And he gave me a new life. And not just that, he gave me eternal life. And maybe that's you today. You are in that same position where I was. You need to make a decision to choose Jesus. If it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Thabo, that's me, then I ask you, can I please pray with you? Can I please pray with you before we go? And if you want to be included in this prayer, then I want to ask you to quickly and quietly just slip up your hand high and say, Thabo, here I am. I want to be prayed. I want to pray with you because I know my life is not right with God and I don't want to leave here without making right with Him. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming to the front. You know what? I want every one of you to look at me. The Bible says that no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you've just heard the voice of Jesus telling you to come back home. All I'm going to do is I'm going to just introduce you to Him. He's the one that's going to change you. He's the one that's going to save you. If you mean business with Him, He needs business with you. And you've got nothing to be ashamed of. Listen to me. Look at me. The whole service was arranged for this moment. You might have known God. You might have moved away from Him. Might be your first time. It doesn't matter. At least you're going to leave here today knowing that you can hear His voice and that your life is in His hands. And I promise you that if you are serious with Jesus, He's going to change everything about you. And then He's going to use you for His glory. And that's His heart's desire. Amen. I want everybody else to stretch out to them. I want you to close your eyes. And I want every one of you to pray this out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, thank you that today I can believe and declare that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me so that I can have eternal life. I give you the glory for saving me today. Thank you that I'm leaving today knowing that you love me. Father, use me in your kingdom for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.